Hallelujah. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. There is a prophetic dimensional opening this evening. You know, so many times there's things that God is having us do, and we don't even realize what's actually happening until He meets you where He sends you. I know that in my walk with the Lord, He sends me places without understanding. And when I get there, understanding is released. Because sometimes if we understand something beforehand, we alter it. And I can tell you that as the Lord gave me this teaching, as we were worshiping, He showed me that the prophetic dimensional opening was occurring, so that a prophetic word can come forth and spread. So it's something that is spoken that is ripple effect. It's a global word. It's a preparation word. And I know right now that prophetic dimensional opening is large. It's almost like a megaphone that reaches out. When Jesus went to the mountains and He brought people out, and He spoke to them, what happened was a prophetic dimensional opening went forth, and everyone was able to hear Him. He didn't have sound equipment, no speakers, no nothing. He didn't need them. Because when the prophetic goes, whatever a person can't hear, an angel speaks to them. It's almost like Jacob's ladder, that the angels are going up and down, and they carry the message of the Lord, and it has to be spoken. When the Lord spoke to Ezekiel and Isaiah and Elijah and so forth, he would say to them, "Son of man, speak to whatever, say this." It's because He had opened up a prophetic dimensional realm that opened up to everywhere. So it was speaking eternal things, not only of past, because when they were prophesying, they were even prophesying at that moment of things of the past that they didn't even know what happened. So in this realm, there is no distance of time. In fact, there is no past or future. It is all one in this realm. It's one. There's nothing that hinders. You know, we look at things that put limitations and hinder here. Walls, sound, thing. There isn't anything that hinders in that arena. Nothing. What is spoken goes. It's just like, you know, when they're in the atmosphere, there is no gravity. When these ships are, when they went to the moon and so forth, they calculated so much thrust that it actually could float. Nothing was actually interfering so much. But in a spirit realm, nothing interferes. There's no resistance whatsoever. And in this, we have a prophetic word, and it's a preparation. And the Lord has been showing us things to come. Now, one of the things about when the Lord spoke to Moses, He spoke to him prophetically. One of the things He shared with him was about the feasts of the Lord. And the feasts of the Lord are so vitally important, vitally. And in these feasts of the Lord, God spoke to Moses saying, "Listen, I want you to practice these feasts. I want you to rehearse these feasts, because these feasts will become fulfilled. They won't become fulfilled in your time, but you will practice them. And these are the feasts of the Lord. These are not feasts of people. They are not the feasts of the Jews, the Gentiles. They are the feasts of the Lord." But God was revealing it to Moses, and He was going to explain. He was letting Moses know, as you begin to prophetically practice these things. So they had to move, and they had to celebrate these, didn't they? Because it kept going, and it kept going. It was rehearsed every single year, every single year. Everything was being prepared, because it was opening a prophetic dimensional realm to send the King of Glory in at a specific time when everything would be opened and prepared. And then Jesus came, and He fulfilled the first four feasts, and the next three feasts will be fulfilled also, no matter what man thinks, whether he believes it or not, and whether people know it or not. These feasts will be fulfilled, and these are prophetic feasts. And I want you to turn to Leviticus 23. Is everybody there? In verse 4. "And these are the feasts of the Lord." Feasts of who? The Lord. holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. This is the first feast. Jesus came to fulfill that feast when he hung on the cross. He was called the Passover Lamb. On the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. The word leaven means evil. This is when Jesus descended into hell to combat evil. He fulfilled it. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the what? First fruits and your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. And on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. This is called the Feast of First Fruits. This is when Jesus rose from the dead. It's been fulfilled. And you shall offer on that day when you wave the sheaf a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephod of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet aroma. And its drink offering shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. In fact, the number 7 means complete, means fulfilled. You shall count what? Verse 16. 50 days. Now, this is another prophetic arena that God has opened so that we can understand this. This is called the Feast of Pentecost. Pente meaning 50. It's Pentecost. So they were celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to bring to the Lord. And Jesus fulfilled that because when he rose from the dead, 50 days after, he sent his Spirit, which actually birthed the church. It started the church of God, the new covenant of God Almighty started here on earth on the Feast of Pentecost. So everybody got it? Is everybody okay? Now there's something specific about 50. 50 is associated with the number, with a word called Jubilee. Jubilee. So in this Pentecost time, we see that something was beginning. Jubilee is a word, and it's used with the number 50. It's word for liberty and deliverance, which also means freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. Remember, he poured out his Spirit on that 50th day. People got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because there was deliverance getting prepared. He was also starting his church to go forth and bring deliverance. Go to Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25 and verse 8, it says, and you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years, and the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of what? The Jubilee to sound on the 10th day in the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make to the trumpet to the sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim what? Liberty throughout all the land of its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Now look at what it is about the jubilee. Not only is it an area of liberty and freedom and deliverance, but it says here, it shall be a jubilee for you. And each of you shall return to his what? Possession. Well, who owns you? Jesus. So there's something prophetic about years of jubilee to be fulfilled. These are called prophetic jubilees. There's a certain amount of jubilees that must be fulfilled till we are returned to the Lord. And each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. The 50th year shall be a jubilee to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your own unattended vine. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy to you, and you shall eat its produce from the field. In this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession. Again, this is a prophetic, there are prophetic jubilees that must be understood. So this came out of Pentecost. Pentecost was the beginning of the church. It was the start of the new covenant, the body of Christ here, brought by the Spirit and birthed by the Spirit of God, because it would bring liberty. Jesus said, and the Spirit of the Lord will be upon me, and to set what? Captives free, to bring liberty to those, to open the eyes of the blind. Has everybody got to be delivered? Why? Because he was the jubilee himself. In Acts chapter 2, prophetic jubilees. Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. In verse 1 it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. This is the feast of Pentecost. This was after Jesus rose. Now, the Jews called this the Feast of the Weeks. And in this, because of the Feast of the Weeks, was actually about the first fruits, and then it would be fall right into Pentecost. So the ending of the Feast of the Weeks was actually 50 days, and it was Pentecost. Is everybody okay? And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the what? With the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with what? Other tongues, as the Spirit what? Gave them utterance. Every one of them. Every one of them. Why? God was bringing them into the second chamber of the tabernacle. So everybody got it. Pentecost, again, was the start of the new covenant church. Go to Exodus 26. Exodus 26. You will see that even in the tabernacle, there are many things that God utilizes in representation of liberty and deliverance. 26 and verse 4. Now the Lord is explaining how he wants the tabernacle to be woven, and the curtains made and everything, and all the furnishings and everything. And in verse 4 he says, and you shall make loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain and on the sleeve edge of one set, and likewise you shall do on the outer edge of the other curtain of the second set. Verse 50. 50 what? I mean, verse 5. Hallelujah. Whew, we went over. Stepped into that prophetic. Anyways. Verse 5. 50 loops. How many loops? What's 50 mean? Jubilee. What's a jubilee mean? Liberty and deliverance. Glory to God. 50 loops you shall make in the one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain that is in the end of the second set, that the loops may be clasped to one another. And you shall make 50 what? Clasps of gold. Sounds like they're making jewelry almost, huh? But it's not. It's parts of the tabernacle. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold and couple the curtains together with the clasps so that it may be one tabernacle. You shall also make curtains of goat's hair to be a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, and its width of each curtain shall be 4 cubits, and its 11 curtains shall have the same measurements. And you shall couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and you shall double over the 6th curtain at the front end of the tent. You shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is the outermost in one set, and 50 loops and the edge of the curtain and the second set. And you shall make 50 bronze clasps and put the clasps inside the loops and couple the tent together that it may be one. The remnant that remains of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains, shall hang over the back of the tabernacle. And a cube on one side, a cube on the other side. And what remains of the length of the curtain of the tent shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle and on this side and on that side to cover it. And then it goes on to continue on. But I just want you to understand that 50 here, God, when God created the tabernacle, and we're not going to get into there, every wind, everything that was tied up, every knot, everything, every woven thing, everything had a number attached to it. And it all went back to Jesus Christ. Everything at the tabernacle, the three chambers, the furnishings, everything was symbolic of Jesus the Christ as the eternal tabernacle. And just one of the parts of this tabernacle that was associated with 50 was a representation of liberty and deliverance. Go to Genesis chapter 7. In verse 17. Now as Noah and his family went into the ark, it says in verse 17, now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. And the waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and mountains were covered, and the flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, cattle, and beasts, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, and that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things, and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Moses and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed on the earth. How many days? 150. How many jubilees is that? 3. 150 days. Does everybody see that? And what was jubilee representation? Deliverance and liberty. Did you notice that God destroyed everything? Now, I truly believe this represented each chamber of the tabernacle, being 3 jubilees. And this is God expressing himself again. Why? Because he was going to bring deliverance and freedom. And when he does that, something begins new. Something begins new. So everybody got it? Praise God. Go to Exodus 30. Actually, let's go to Genesis 9 first. This is cool. And verse 28. In verse 28, it says, and Noah lived after the flood 350 years. Wow. Now, what's 7 mean? Complete. Has everybody got it? Fulfilled. So you understand the symbolic that God was using in the numbers that are associated with him. So Noah fulfilled what God asked him to do to bring liberty and freedom and start anew. And he died. In fact, in Genesis 8:3, it says, you don't have to turn there. It says, while the flood was going, it says, the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters what? Decreased. Hallelujah. 350 years, Moses, after the flood, Noah lived 350 more years. And Exodus 30, I want to show you the importance of the number 50 being associated with jubilee, deliverance and freedom. In Exodus 30, because these are prophetic jubilees, and I believe that God fulfills certain specific things that happen. And I believe that he fulfills 70 jubilees. I believe that in these certain times of these 50 years, that God is going to fulfill his feasts in certain areas. And also, it's associated with his return. In Exodus chapter 30, in verse 22, says, moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet smelling cinnamon. So what's 500? Hello? That's 500 what? Jubilees. And half of much sweet smell, and 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet smelling cinnamon, 200 and what? 50 shekels. You'll see that even the anointing oil is made with all jubilees. And 250 shekels of sweet smelling cane, 500 shekels of acacia, and according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. Everything associated with the spicing of the anointing oil was associated with jubilee number. Is everybody okay? Praise God. And Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. Isaiah 10, verse 27. Would you read that with me? And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the what? Anointing oil. Why? What does the jubilee bring? Liberty and deliverance. And what is the anointing oil made with? Senses that are counted by what? Jubilees. And Luke 9. Man, there's so much to this that we could be here for days. It's just phenomenal what God does. And Luke chapter 9. There are so many mysteries that are hidden in the deep things of the Lord. And the Lord says that his spirit will reveal them to us. The Bible says that in the last days he'll begin to release more knowledge and understanding so that we can determine and discern approximately or around that area of his coming to be prepared. You look at, we are children of light. He doesn't leave you in darkness. You know, we know that the word says, well, no man knows the day or whatever or the Lord's coming. But we're not just a man anymore. We are the offsprings of the Most High God, the Creator. We are the body of Christ. We're not men anymore or women. We are the body of Christ, and we know all things. It's totally different. In Luke chapter 9, in verse 10, and the apostles, when they had returned to him all that they had done, then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bathsheba. Is everybody with me? Or, yeah, Bethsaida, sorry. And when the multitudes knew it, they followed him. And he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send a multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. I love this. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unless we go buy food for all these people. There was not a 7-Eleven around the corner there. For there were about 5,000 men. How many? How many jubilees are those? What? How about 100-fold? Then he said to his disciples, are you there? Are you watching this? Look at this. What did he say to them? Make them sit down in what? Groups of 50. What was he getting ready to do? He was about to bring what? Liberty and what? Deliverance. Why? What was he going to free them from? Now, it said that he healed them, right? So was he fulfilling what he just did? And wasn't he fulfilling their hunger? He wasn't ordering dominoes. Now, look at. Then they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. It kept multiplying. Kept multiplying because of the jubilee. And he blessed, okay, and so they all ate and were filled. And 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. 12 means government. In other words, the eternal government was now present and fulfilling the Jubilee for his people. Is everybody okay? Acts 7. Acts chapter 7. In verse 1. Then the high priest said, Are these things so? And he said, Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, Get out of your country and from your relatives, and come to the land that I will show you. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. And God gave him no inheritance in it, not even enough to set his foot on. But even when Abraham had no children, he promised to give it to him for a possession and to his descendants after him. But God spoke in this way, that his descendants would dwell in a foreign land, and that they would bring them into bondage and oppress them for what? 400 years. 400 years the Jews were in oppression under the slavery of the Egypt. And the nation to whom they would be in bondage, I will judge, said God. And after that, they shall come out and serve me in this place. So God was going to free them after 8 Jubilees were fulfilled. I mean, 50 years here. 8 meaning new beginning. The Jubilee of 50 years was a representation of God's deliverance and freedom, liberty. 8 meaning new beginning. So, according to his prophetic numbering, the Jews would be in bondage for 400 years, and after 8 Jubilees, he would free them. So everybody got it? Is everybody okay? Okay. Now go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Is everybody there? Matthew 24 and verse 37. Hallelujah. Let's speak this together. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came, took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken, and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken in. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, My master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of. And he will cut him in two, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, we know that during the days of Noah, it says that they will be marrying and giving in marriage. There will be drunkards and all kinds of things to this degree. And we know that that's escalating right now. We also know that in the days of Noah, that the Nephilim, the angels, the fallen angels that had come and went into the women and produced offsprings. And those Nephilims and those that died during that time and the offsprings of the demons. So we know again that as it will be in the days of Noah, that these individuals that are spirits or demonized individuals that are now servants of Satan's kingdom will enter into the political arena. They will enter into all places to fulfill what's happening. And if you think about it, even the Mayan calendar talked about the end of the age. Their calendars and some of these other calendars don't go beyond 2012. And in that calendar of 2012, I really believe that that was written by the Nephilim, or the fallen angels, the watchers, what they used to call. But in one aspect, they said it would be to the end of the age. But I'm telling you, it was prophetic in a reality that it was an end of the age, but it was a beginning of new age of darkness, where darkness would escalate. So we are in a year of 2013 where darkness has escalated more than it ever has. Because the Nephilim spirits, the offsprings called demons, have infiltrated and taken possession of individuals that are willingly open hosts to fulfill their mission in government officials globally and all over. They are fulfilling it right now. And there is something very powerful that we've got to understand. So what their purpose is to usher in the Antichrist and Satan himself. That's their purpose, because they actually believe that they can defeat God. But of course, they're warped. Hello. Now, I want to share with you about a jubilee that has been prophetically prophesied. And there's a rabbi who prophesied about a jubilee that would be fulfilled. And he prophesied about this, and then 300 years later, that prophecy started. And that's what I want to read to you tonight, because I think it's vitally important. Now, again, nobody knows the day or time, but we do have a good idea of things that are happening. Everybody knows right now that there's something getting ready to happen. We see countries divided. We see escalating. We see murders, bloodshed. We see houses no longer have godly ethics, and children are just going astray. No longer the education. There's a lot of racism happening, which was prophesied it'd be nation against nation. That's ethnic group. All of these things were prophesied in Matthew 24. So in this, we are being prepared for something that is getting ready to happen. And this gentleman's, according to the article, Rabbi Judah ben Samuel was a top Talmudic scholar in Germany. And just before he died in the year 1217, he prophesied that the Ottoman Turks would rule over the holy city of Jerusalem 8 jubilees, which is 400 years. That is 400 years. The Ottoman Turks did take control of Jerusalem 300 years after the rabbi's death in 1517. And as according to the prophecy, the Turks then lost Jerusalem 400 years later in 1917. It was during World War I that the British general Edmund Allenby walked into Jerusalem on Hanukkah without firing a shot in 1917. The timing of this was the holiday, and the ease at which it occurred indeed made this moment of history extremely significant. The rabbi then went on to say that after the 8 jubilees, a 9th jubilee would have Jerusalem being a no man's land, which it was from 1917 to 1967 until the Six-Day War. It was known as a no man's land. The rabbi's prophecy then stated that in the 10th jubilee that Jerusalem would be controlled by Israel, and then the messianic end times would begin. That would then bring the time to 2017. All end time prophecy centers around the Jews and their city, Jerusalem. And here we find a Jewish prophet being published in Israel Today, giving the exact series of jubilee cycles for Israel and the end of days. The first portion of his prophecy was fulfilled exactly, which shows that the rest of his prophecy will most likely be just as accurate. There were exactly 8 jubilees from the death of Judah ben Samuel in 2017 that the Turks ruled over Jerusalem. He claimed that the 9th jubilee from 1917 to 1967, Jerusalem would be a no man's land, which came to pass exactly. He then claimed that there would be a 10th and final jubilee that would put Jerusalem back into the hands of their chosen people in approximately 2017. This man prophesied this before he died in 1217. It's important to see that he used the biblical term jubilee and how it actually ties in with the key events happening to Israel. This once again confirms the biblical cycles that God is following for the redemption of the last days of Israel. Again, we talked about if the fallen angels once returned in 2012, or what we call the spirits of the fallen angels, the demons now possessing and strengthening individuals. Their numerical number in 2013, think about this, this would be perfect for the spirit of Nimrod. Now, Nimrod was considered a Nimrod. No, he was a rebellious, and he's the one assisted and started the building of the Tower of Babel. He was considered a Nephilim. Now, Nimrod, here we are, 2013. Now, think about this. Nimrod was the 13th person born of Adam. He was the 13th of Adam. And the number 13 means rebel. So 2013 would be the right year for the spirit of Nimrod to return. Does everybody understand this? And rebellion against God and Christ, it's truly incredible how everything is coming to pass. We are seeing rebellion increased more and more and more. And it's time that we are prepared even more in this area. You know, I know many of us have plans for a long time. There's nothing wrong with having plans for a long time. But always keep first that the Lord can return any moment. Any moment. And I'm going to say that again. Any moment. The only thing we're waiting on is a 7-year treaty to sign. When we see that peace treaty, we know we've got about 3.5 years left. But we also know that the 10th Jubilee will be fulfilled. And I want to close in Ephesians chapter 4. Prophetic Jubilees. In verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With all lowliness, that means humbleness, and gentleness, with long-suffering, and bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity, everyone say unity, of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. So let's keep the unity of the Spirit, the unity of one another. Let not strife nor division enter into you or your household, because a house divided will not stand. And one of the things that begins to happen is confusion, frustration, and separation. That's one of the things the Lord is asking us to be aware of and prepared, because He is coming, and He is coming soon. We're seeing everything prophetically being fulfilled all around us. There is no doubt. This country is in a point of no return. It cannot return. It's impossible. It would take 30,000 years for this country to come out of debt. And I can tell you, we don't have that much time. Hello. So let's stand strong. Let's be unified. Let's watch one another's back. Amen. Pray for one another. Stay prepared. Stay prayed up and filled up. Don't worry about your tomorrow. It may never come. You deal what's on your table today. That's all you're accountable for. Amen. And to God be the glory. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that the seed be imparted and grow and bear fruit for your glory. I want to thank you for all those who have listened tonight and viewed tonight and everyone that's here. I pray blessing over each and every one. I ask that you stand strong, stay in the secret place of the Lord, and continue to grow. And don't forget about going to theeternallibrary.org, where you can grow and learn and not get burned. Lord bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.